Okay, if you'd like to grab your Bibles, we're going to open up Philippians for the last time. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to be reading from verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, as Pete comes to speak to us now, I ask again that you would give us ears to hear, to consider carefully what is being said to us, that we would allow your Holy Spirit word to be planted in our hearts and to change us, to make us more like Christ, to make us a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to ask three simple questions right at the beginning. So get comfortable, sit down. Here are the questions. First question is, what is your favourite smell? What's your favourite smell? Perhaps it's freshly cut grass. Lots of people like that. Freshly baked bread, frying bacon, curry, spicy chicken, bulgogi, whatever it is, what is your favourite smell? Or perhaps it's a perfume that a loved one wears and it reminds you of them, or a flower that, you know, wafts up your nose and takes you back to memory lane, because that's what smells do. That they're an amazing and vital sense, and they can evoke emotions and feelings, and as I say, take you down memory lane. You can suddenly have a smell and you're 30 years back, thinking about things that happened then. So what is your favorite smell? That's the first question. The second question is this. It's a bit more personal. What do you smell like? Or what do you smell of? Right now I'm talking, actually. Not, you know, not when you're at your best and you've got your best suit on or your best dress on. What do you smell of right now? Perhaps some of you have only just got up and you're still in your pajamas and you haven't had a shower and you haven't brushed your teeth. Does your breath smell? What do you smell of? We identify, don't we, things that are foul and fresh through the sense of smell. Things that are attractive or repellent. They come through smell, don't they? We smell milk to see whether it's off. So what do you smell like? That's my second question. Here's the third. What smell does God like? What smell does God like? What is pleasing to God? What attracts God? What repels God? But actually more, what pleases him? What is a pleasing smell to him? Here's Paul then. He's closing the letter to this church at Philippi that we've been working our way through, coming to the end of it. And his mind goes to smells. Now, remember, he's in prison. And I imagine that the prison that he's in didn't smell very, very nice. He's also chained to a Roman guard. And as he's sitting there, chained to the Roman guard, he gets a whiff of something. And perhaps he's looking around to see where that whiff is coming from. Now, it's not the guard that's dealt that, because this whiff is a very beautiful whiff. And even if this Roman guard was wearing deodorant, you know, Lynx or something, it really wasn't coming from him. And it wasn't some flower that scent wafted in through the prison window. This smell is really beautiful. It's the smell of the Philippian church, miles away, but he smells it. See, Paul is talking about gifts, and he's talking about the gift that the Philippian church had given him to help him with the ministry of taking the message of Jesus to the world. But look what he says in verse 18, the second half of verse 18. They are a fragrant offering, it's the gifts. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Fragrant, acceptable, pleasing smell. The word fragrant can be translated sweet smelling. The word acceptable can be translated welcome. The word pleasing can be translated well good. So we have a sweet smelling, welcome, well good smell. And that's what Paul is getting a whiff of in this Roman prison as he sits next to the Roman guard. The paraphrase version of the Bible, the Message, puts it this way, verse 18 this way. Like a sweet-smelling sacrifice roasting on the altar, filling the air with fragrance and pleasing God no end. I like that. Paul is saying to these Philippian Christians that their generosity is really good smell. And it's arrived in his prison cell. That the smell of their gift has caused him to rejoice and, you know, just wallow in the fragrance. But not only him, God loves this smell as well. Now, Paul is taking this whole sort of smelling and this whole sacrifice of language from the Old Testament part of the Bible. The Old Testament is full of this sort of stuff. So I don't know whether Paul was reading the book of Leviticus, but in the book of Leviticus, you have all kinds of offerings that are to be burnt to the Lord, sacrifices that the worshipper brings, and they're described by the Lord as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. But as you read through the Bible, you'll find that sometimes those very same offerings stink to the Lord. They're horrible. It's like just burnt offal, like a really, really badly burnt barbecue. What you discover as you work through the Old Testament is that it's the attitude of the offerer that really counts in these offerings that is a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The key to the smell that pleases God is a broken heart and a humble spirit. And that broken heart and humble spirit brings an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Offerings that are done automatically or are just brought out of religious duty or are nothing more than the leftovers that we're offered to God, you know, the animals that we didn't really need anyway, or they're diseased or got a broken leg, those offerings that are just done without thought, without heart, stink. The sacrifices were to be the very best of the animals that you could afford, not cheap, not diseased. And the people that brought that type of offering were bringing a heartfelt love, gratitude, thanksgiving for the forgiveness that the offering was symbolizing. And they were bringing it to God. Now, we've got to get this. There's just one other thing before we get into the Philippians passage. And that is this, that these sacrifices, we must get clear, that they're not because the Lord needed them. It's not like, you know, he really loves barbecues and he's really hungry. He didn't need them because everything, we're told, belongs to the Lord. Our gifts are not sort of buying our favor for God or to God, from God. These sacrifices are actually teaching us a lot of things. Of course, they're looking to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're also teaching us that we must be generous like the generous God, that as God is generous to us in giving his son to us, we are to be generous in our thanksgiving back to him. How we respond in our sacrifices is an indication of whether we really understand whether God is a gracious God to us or not. That's what they're teaching us. And all of this, I think we're going to see worked out in this final passage of the letter Paul writes to these Philippians. Now, I'm going to divide this passage up, and I'm going to keep that theme of smell. You know when you see those wine tasters? I mean, I never get it with wine at all because I'm not a great wine fan. But you get the wine tasters, and they talk about the nose. And then they talk about the note of or the fragrant of. And so they put their nose in before they drink it. They swill it around and take a sniff. And this has a note of, and then off they go with their descriptions of what the notes of the different sort of notes of the smell and of the wine. Well, that's what I'm going to use. What are the notes that make up an aroma that pleases God? Here's number one, on the nose then. This is what, here he is in the prison, got a Roman guard next to him, probably making all kinds of funny smells, but this note comes through the window, on the nose, the note of share. Share, the Philippians shared with Paul. Look at verses 14 to 16. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. When I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. So here's the first note of the smell, share. That word share could be translated, and is in some translations translated, partnership or fellowship. It's an everyday word, actually, that described running a business. You were in partnership with another business member. You had shares in a business. So these Philippians had shared with Paul, even in his sufferings and in his work. They had shared, they'd taken shares. Look at verse 15 again. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acceptance with the gospel, so almost as soon as they became Christians, they immediately were affected by becoming a Christian, and they shared. Yeah? They weren't following the examples of other churches, which is quite interesting, because the other churches weren't giving anything. But their understanding of the free gift of God in Christ caused them to bring these fragrant offerings. They shared. They received Christ freely, they freely gave. It was spontaneous right from the beginning. See, once you become a Christian, you've got to get this, you become a partner in the gospel business. That is God's great work. Enabling people to go out and preach the gospel, people like Paul, to preach the gospel to others that they may come into the grace of God and understand what Christ has done for them. And so they shared instantly. But it wasn't just a one-off gift. Look at verse 16. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. This was a continual partnership. It wasn't just a one-off gift. So even when Paul was in trouble, even when Paul was being disliked, even when Paul was being despised, even when Paul was saying, well, look at him, he's in prison. Is he really God's servant? Even when there were difficulties and troubles, they were partners. They were receiving information as if, you know, this is our genuine brother on the front line. They're wanting to receive information, and they were giving as they received. This was going on. They were in the ministry together. It was like they were on the front line because their brother Paul was on the front line. If he suffered, they suffered. If he was in need, they were prepared to give so that actually they would be in need because they'd given. Now, what is it that makes God's people generous? It isn't just that emotional surge you get on those adverts for charities. It's not just an appeal to the emotions. It's not because there's a great violin solo going behind as someone saying, give. It's not manipulation, the twisting of the arm. Jesus says this, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. The foundation of generosity is the grace of God. That's why Paul starts with the grace of God, his letter, and ends with the grace of God. The foundation of generosity is the grace of God. God is so gracious that if we're in partnership with him, we have to be gracious. So, how do you smell? How do you smell? Are you smelling like a sharing partner in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the first note. Here's the second note. The waft comes through the window, remember, sniffs it in on the nose. Note number two, credit. You see it there in verse 17. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. It's a funny thing to say, isn't it? Not that I desire your gifts. Now, I think we've got to get this right. He is not saying he didn't want their gifts, and he's not even being rude about their gifts. What did you give me that for? I didn't want that. You know, he's not being rude. And he I think he seriously doesn't want them to think that he's writing this to get more gifts. You know, he needs more money, and he's sort of manipulating them. That isn't going on in his mind. And he also doesn't want them to think that the work of God actually would fail if they didn't give. I mean, verse 19 sort of sorts that out. It's God who is the generous giver. It's God who has riches at his disposal. He gives. It's, you know, we only give out of his riches. So he's not saying those things. But what he is saying, I think, is that their giving is actually a blessing to them. That they get their account credited as they give out of their account. That they're storing up credit as they give. It's amazing. It's the opposite to the world. As they give, they get more. That's what he's saying. Now, we've got to get this because we saw this in the burnt offerings that I was trying to say in the introduction. God doesn't need the gifts. It's not that he's hungry and he needs a lamb to be sacrificed. But the offerings are revealing us how we give. Have we understood God's given us so generously? Have we understood the great gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to us in dying for us? Then when we've understood that, we thankfully give. The Philippians' commitment to giving, Paul says, actually is crediting them. It's a blessing to them. And Paul's utterly encouraged as he's sitting there next to the guard, all kinds of smells coming from him, and he's thinking, oh, gosh. And then suddenly, oh, Philippian smell. It's lovely because they're developing a maturity in Christ. They understand just what Christ has given them and they freely give. Generosity is credited to their account. Look, we've got to get this because we need to understand this, that Christian giving actually benefits us as a church and as individuals. Not like those ridiculous, you know, prosperity gospel preachers that say to them, always say to their audience, give us money and then you will get more money back. I never understand why they don't do that. Why don't they give all their audience money and then they get given back? But, it's not saying that. It's not saying that you'll be if I give £100, God will give me £1,000 in my account. It's not saying that. What it is saying, though, is as I selflessly give, as I understand what Christ did and gave his life for me, as I give generously, I become richer, more like Christ. My account grows. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. And then he describes the giving. He says, a good measure, you know, so that's a lot of it, pressed down, you know, so there's no air, so you can get more in, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. And then he says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You see that? As we give generously, then we'll receive generously. He says this to Peter. Peter said to Jesus in Luke chapter 18, verse 29, he says to Jesus, we've given up lots to follow you, me and the disciples. And Jesus says in verse 29, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. See that? Whatever you give up, and in this case, whatever makes you feel secure, home, brother, sister, wife, whatever you give up for the gospel ministry of Jesus, you're going to receive many times here and now in this world and in the age to come, the eternal life. It's amazing, isn't it? As you give, you receive, you become more like Jesus. Or Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, remember this, he says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will always also reap generously. See, we're always in this age going on about our needs. I need this. I demand this. I want this. And even in the church, you get people whinging on like that. I want this. I want this ministry. I want to do this. I want this to be poured out to me. Me. I'm not going to do this. Well, if you're going to be that stingy, then you will receive the measure that you've given out. But as you give generously, then you receive, you become more like Christ, more content, as we were seeing last week. Don't live in the small world of investment of me. Live in the big world of investing as you give away. The Philippians were being Christ-like, and that made them smell great. They smelled great. How do you smell? Yeah? What are you smelling like right now when it comes to that? Are you giving generously? Here's the third then, third on the nose. Smelling, remember, comes in, wafts in the window. We had two notes. Here's the third note, acceptable sacrifice. The word acceptable, as I said before, means welcome. It's like a welcome sacrifice. So yeah, there he is. He's sitting there next to the guard. All kinds of smells coming up from that guard. Yeah, and then suddenly, oh, that's welcome. That's the sort of word that's used. It's a welcome sacrifice. Now, the word sacrifice obviously carries with it all kinds of things. But one of the things it does carry with it is costly. In other words, it costs you. This isn't spare change. You don't we're not talking about stuff that doesn't cost you. You know, you see the beggar in Kingston and it's spare change. And, you know, there used to be a beggar in Kingston and we used to call him spare change man because he just went, spare change. And that's all he wanted. And you just chucked him a few pennies. Or it's not the busker. You quite like, you know, a busker and you just chuck him some spare change. Now, under the Old Testament sacrificial system, it wasn't spare change for God. It was unblemished lamb. It's the best you could get hold of. And if you couldn't afford a lamb, it was two unblemished doves, not just any old bird. It was the best you could give. It cost you, in other words. Yeah? God complains in the book of Malachi, in Malachi chapter 1, 6 to 8. Listen to God's complaint. He says this: as a son honors his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is it not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is it not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. You see, they were bringing sacrifices, but they were cheap, they were deceitful, and they stank in the nostrils of God. Burn offal. These sacrifices are meant to be thought through, heartfelt, generous thanks for what they actually were symbolizing. Prepared, lovingly, best we could afford. It's interesting, when David, he's having dealings, I won't go into the whole story, with a king who wants to give David the bulls for sacrifice. He says, I'll give them to you. And David said, no, I'll pay for them. And the king said, no, I'll give them to you as a present. And David says this: no, I insist on paying for it. Listen, I will not sacrifice to the Lord, my God, burnt offerings that cost me nothing. I think we'll get the blokes to put that up. That's 2 Samuel 24, 24. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. It's not spare change. And that's the smell the Father loves. That's the smell God loves. Because that reminds him of Jesus. Jesus gave everything. Do you remember the central passage in Philippians? Is Philippians chapter 2. Listen to the words, verse 6. This is Jesus, who being in the very nature God, he's the best you can get, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on the cross. That's the smell the Father loves. Costly giving of himself. The death of the Son of God. The Father smells and says, that's my boy. That's what I love. That's what I exalt. That's what pleases me. Look at verse 9 of Philippians 2. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on an earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Generous, sacrificial, costly, giving of himself. God smells that and exalts it. And that's what the Philippian church smelt like. They smell great. The church smells great. And God's pleased with it. It's like smelling jasmine or some beautiful flower or your loved one. Yeah, smells good. So verse 20, of Philippians 4, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul greets them in the last few verses. There's no distinction. There's all there. He shows that he's not on his own. And they're taken up with this glory of God in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's just apply this very briefly. In verse 10 of this chapter, which we were looking at last week, Paul rejoices in the Lord at their gift. And I can say, Cornerstone Church, you know, it was a rejoicing thing, wasn't it? That in lockdown, we raised 20,000 grand for our brothers and sisters that we don't even know. That was terrific. Absolutely terrific. Praise God for that. Do you want to smell that? Did you smell that? I rejoiced in that. And then we rejoiced and we support Taras and Trinity Road Church in Belarus going through tough times at the moment. What an opportunity to support that brother there and that work there. Yeah, let's keep giving. Let's keep giving to the gospel. If you've stopped, start up again. Be generous. Maybe it's not money, but maybe it's time. Maybe some of you are actually, you know, in this lockdown, you're really scared of going out. It seems to be that there are a lot of people a bit like this, and health has become a bit of a big thing with you. I know that some people have to isolate. I understand that. But some of you, well, you know, maybe you should stop thinking about health and go out. Maybe you will get this thing, but we are to meet together where we can. So let me end with these three questions then. What is your favorite smell? Is it Jesus? He did this for me. Gosh, when I see what he did for me. What do you smell like? Do you smell like Jesus? Have you got horrible BO? It's all about you, your stink. Or is it Jesus? And does the Father smell you? Oh, I smell my son. I smell my son. He's so generous. He's picked that up from my son. He hasn't been spraying Lynx all over his body. It's not some perfume, Chanel, whatever it is, 5, or I can't remember the numbers, but it's not Chanel, it's Jesus. He's picked up a generous spirit. Or do you smell like a skunk? Do you smell like a stunted person who's had generosity given to you, but you freely give nothing? Should we freshen ourselves up with Jesus? Should we give ourselves back to him so that we may live for him and have credit it to our account, eternal life with many people in the kingdom because we've given? Let's spend a moment and pray. Father God, we thank you that you are an utterly generous God. Thank you that we can't outdo you because you've given us the greatest treasure of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You gave your life willingly as a sacrifice to buy us into the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you that you smell Jesus and it's good. It's a pleasing aroma that he fulfilled your will in saving us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you opened our eyes and our noses and our ears to the fragrance of Christ, brought us into the kingdom of God. Freely we have received, freely we have received. And we pray, please, that you would help us freely give out of thanks and gratitude. We would be generous. We do pray for our brother Taras at the moment. We know these are difficult days. Please, Father, again, would you be with him and help us to help him in that ministry. And pray that you would save many through him. We thank you for that £20,000 that we raised for persecuted brothers and sisters. Please, please, it's not much money really, but would you use it for your glory as a fragrant offering and bring many Christians to love you more, and many that are not Christians to come to know you through that. We commit our lives to you. Help us now to have the fragrance of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.